Welcome to the G&JB Show, episode number 20. Jackie B.
Gareth Williams.
How are you?
Jack Bowen. I'm excellent, mate. Professional boxing looms. Excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. So, looks like everything's falling into place at the right time.
It's going good.
Yeah, exciting times.
So, mate, you've had two sparring sessions with Rowan Murdoch. I believe yep. Rowan will hopefully have some news in the next few days about his next fight coming up. And, mate, let me go in depth with you about this. You've done quite a few camps with Rowan.
Yeah.
Two or three. You did last Christmas, I think, with Rowan, didn't you, as well?
So, since after Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, so last couple of years, pretty much.
Yeah, so it was like end of 2017.
So, give us an in-depth what that's like, why you've been sparring the professionals like Rowan, even though you were an amateur. What is it that you got out of it initially, and how's that different of what you're getting out of it now, you know, personally?
Initially, I think I learned more about I learned within myself that I've got the gas tank to push on even on the days I don't really feel like I want to be there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, for
you don't feel like you want to be sparring every time you turn up.
And yeah.
Just knowing in my own heart that I could get through tough periods. And Rowan obviously has got a very high work rate.
He's got a fast pace too.
So anytime you slack as well, you just got to be on for the whole six. Sometimes we've done eight rounds in prep in the past. So just learning that I had the gas tank to keep pushing on and just when to take your breaks, when to work, when to variate your punches in. Like, not everything has to be, I'm going to kill. Because in amateurs, I think you get caught up in that because everything's going to be fast, fast, fast. But like with Ray, you learn like tap, tap, boom.
Yeah.
It's not all one pace. So yeah, just learn to mix up
the difference. Shots,
when to look, when to take a break. Yeah.
And that's the thing. A lot of amateurs, I think, that do turn professional, they don't realize that. They think they can box exactly the same as a professional as they did as an amateur. Well, if they had that in and out speedy style, I know some people just go, no, well, you've just got to be fitter. Well, it's totally not like that. You've got to learn how to be a survivor over the distance and learn how to touch and learn how to hold and learn, you know, there are going to be times in a 4 to 10 round fight that you're going to have a little trouble sometimes. You've got to get your head in, lock in, hold on tight, take a breather, twist them around, all those little things. So I'm guessing you're learning a lot of, a lot about the inside game as well.
Yeah. So as I said, Chris and Rowan, we've been close with that gym for the last, you longer than me, but working with Rowan, I've got...
Turning some older.
Yeah, I think it's your older, 50 odd. I think working with those boys and just picking up little things about the game, not only like inside in the sparring, but just getting advice from the boys and just getting everyone's perspective on things. And I think if you're willing to listen and learn, I think by the time when I turn pro, I can implement those things. And
I think it's been good.
Yeah, never too big to listen to anyone else. I think that's some advice for people coming up too. I think a lot of people in boxing are just so stuck in their ways and don't want to listen to other people. So if you can take little bits from everyone and learn and absorb the environment you're in, like being with Chris and Rowan, and I think put you in good stead for when you want to advance your career.
So this is as raw as it gets. You've just dead set got out of the ring with Rowan half an hour ago.
Yeah.
And
happy to get out.
How did today's sparring go? Let us know how it went. Like, what did you feel you do good? What did Rowan do well? What do you need to improve? Or generally, look, as far as I'm concerned, it's generally just early work, isn't it, really? Just getting through those rounds.
These first probably 4 weeks. So we're looking at mid to late Feb for the debut. So I think I got just over 10 weeks. Mm. So at the moment, it's just all conditioning and making sure I've got the gas in my tank to be able to do that. And then, as we get closer, that we'll fine tune the technical things. Yeah. That's all your job, really. But I'm just there to do as I'm told, to be honest. But today I learned a few little tricks. Chrissy talked to me about a couple little things inside, and you spoke to me as well. So, just trying to work on controlling the pace and when to work and when to back it. Oh, wait, take your little rest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because in the amateurs, it was all boom, 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 boom for three rounds, but you're sparring probably four. When that, I got six built into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what, when
or even if I start fast, I need to figure out, okay, I need to, how am I going to get a little break here? Because you both just keep pushing and pushing up.
This is what I used to do, and this is how different it is. When I had Brad Hoare in the ring and he was doing 10 round fights, like he went to 10 rounds early because look, the only reason he did that because he was 30 or late 20s when he first had his first professional fight. So we had to get him going as quick as possible. So when he was fighting 10 rounders, we used to fight 4-2-4. So people that aren't too up with professional boxing, they might not know what I mean, but Brad Hoare, we all knew, is a fast starter.
Yeah.
So, and Brad would just could keep that pace for quite a long time, but over 10 rounds, you just can't keep that pace for the long time. So with Brad, the 4-2-4, and I'm sure he'll comment on this one because he always watches or listens. So yeah,
before, so if you ever want to go back and listen to his. So.
That's right, Braddy Hoare. Mate, so what we used to do, he used to start four because he knew no other way. Well, with start fast before, with 200 odd amateur fights, like it's pretty hard changing, especially in your late 20s. So we used to do four at amateur pace, speed, hit and move. And then he used to have two rounds off. Two rounds were just defensive where he could walk and faint and breathe and jab and clinch. And that's how we do it. So he got his tank gas under him again. And the last four rounds, he'd come home with it. Yeah, so it was like, that's how we used to, look, everybody's different, but that was generally how we used to work with Brad, 4-2-4. So they could have those middle rounds and get in front, get the lead. But then the next two rounds was being safe. Look, he didn't not do anything.
Yeah, well, you can't. Yeah.
But it was hopefully we've swung the momentum. It's in your favor. You can afford to take a breath now. Do your feints. He thinks he's going to do something else. You know what I mean? And then he used to come home with the last four. And look, that's the way we planned it. But there's all so many different tricks in this pro game, you know, from the coach's side. To the boxer's side, like little things like that. I remember when Damien Hooper fought Umar Solomov against on the Horn Pacquiao,
yeah.
Greatest day Australian boxing probably ever had, in my mind, with all the wins that we had and the success on the day. Well, we had a plan, and I got in the boxing ring, and straight away when we got in the corner, the sun was beaming down straight towards us, and I just said, Hoops, switch him around. Still stick to the same plan, but I want him facing that way. So straight away, Hoops was moving around to his right. He would have moved around to his left. Got Solomov facing the sun, showed feints, and that's when he started hitting him with the jab. Just because, like, who normally takes the sun into consideration in a boxing match? But, you know, sometimes you just got to do those things. But Rowan Murdoch, what are his positives? And, you know, what's something you when you're both match fit, what is it that you know he's really good at?
Well, obviously Rowan, I think his ticker is as much as he's a skilled boxer and got a really good work rate. I think just his ability to hold a pace and I don't know, get you to work to his game plan as well. So even in close, just always punching, always working, real sharp, crisp puncher as well.
Mm.
And yeah, I can see him going all the way and winning the world title, and I hope he does that. He's under good management with Mike Altamira, and I think he's got all the tools in the kit and a good team around him. Chrissy's a really good person,
yeah,
good coach.
He signed with MTK Global as well.
Yes,
he signed with them. Yeah,
MTK,
nice.
So
they're a big organisation that.
Oh, they'll put him in the right places.
Yeah, that's right.
The right flights. Yeah, but
who else with MTK from Australia? I think we've got.
Nathaniel May. Paul Fleming.
TJ Donahue.
Yeah, he doesn't live here, I don't think, anymore.
Oh, doesn't he?
Nah.
But then there's, like, on the big scale, obviously, there's Frampton, Fury.
There's, like, Mateo Tapia.
Yep. Oh, yeah, true, yep.
I think they've got that MTK Bondi.
Yeah, team, yeah, so oh, that's right. Yeah, Tony Delvecchio,
he's got that. But now it's, like, out of that gym, I think there's only, four or five, so...
Jeez, they get some good opportunities for their fighters.
Yeah, they do a really good job. They're at a massive organisation with some big names behind it. You got people like Fury, Frampton, Billy Joe Saunders, Michael Coleman, who fights this weekend, Madison Square Garden.
You just mentioned Fury, right? I'm just going to go. Who's the biggest name in boxing at the moment?
Canelo Alvarez, I think.
For the non-boxers, though? Like, who's the biggest household
probably, name? Probably Fury.
Fury or AJ?
Yeah.
If you're in...
Well, I'm just going off what my mates talk about.
Yeah.
So, like, because they're just casual fans, a lot of them. So, I'd say probably Fury or AJ.
Even,
I think Wilder now, because, like, all my mates on Instagram...
Because he's
Fury.
You see this
Wilder guy?
Yeah.
He just knocked people over him.
Yeah.
Not
bad, is he? Yeah, his highlight videos are pretty short, because he doesn't outbox anyone. He just bangs them out of
the... Yeah, but to get in the right position to throw that punch, you've got to be doing something right.
Yeah, I thought he was smart in his last point.
That wasn't a shot where he's just gone, warm. No. It was a nice play.
They're not lucky punches. It was, now's the time to throw it,
yeah,
you know?
It can't be after like 30 or 40 on knockout.
That's right. He was a pretty good athlete as well, I think, at school.
I think he played NFL for a long time. Yeah. I think he was about 18 or 19 when he decided to start boxing just for his daughter. And that's a pretty good story as well.
Yeah, it's good.
Went to the Olympics, got bronze, and he's turned professional, yeah.
Mate, speaking of the big dogs.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, because Wilder's got that PBC network as well, so they've lost their other three belts. They had them all, four belts. They've had them all tied up.
Mate.
It'd be spewing, I reckon.
I liked Ruiz. I didn't like him to win the fight because I won a bet against the barber down the road, double or nothing, he said. Didn't have to pay for this haircut.
Didn't ya?
No. Thanks, boys.
That should have stitched out.
Oh, mate. So I turned up about 3 days this week after the bet. Just letting you know I'll be in tomorrow for my haircut. Letting you know I'll be in tomorrow.
Oh, that's tough. The boys down there love the Ruiz, eh?
I know, yeah. But, mate, I wasn't happy with what he said after.
Oh, mate, to be honest, he started and I closed the laptop and I was like, that's just going to make me infuriated.
Not like him anymore?
Because the way AJ went about it. If AJ had done the same, then it's like, okay, fair play. But he hasn't.
Apparently AJ had some real issues, but he's still holding them close to his chest.
I did listen to IFL TV with Coogan Cassius and Eddie Hearn had an interview, and Eddie was speaking about it. He's like, look, it wasn't the biggest dramas, but they could affect his performance on the night. But he hasn't once brought those things up.
No.
And I just think that's a testament to AJ's character, and that's probably why he's retained his titles and become champion again. And I think a champion attitude, you need to accept your victory. You need to be humble both your victories and defeat. Yeah, and I remember I've watched back. I didn't watch it live. You're probably old enough though. Prince Nazim when he lost to Barrera.
Saw them all, mate. Saw all Prince Nazim's fights.
But like,
yeah.
Flash, some say arrogant, cocky boxer.
Yeah.
And like, and did a bit of trash talk, talking about how good he was, how good looking he was. As soon as he lost, he said, all respect to him.
Yep.
He said, I'm glad I'm safe and I've come out the ring, but I'll live to fight another day and I'll be back.
I think he only had one fight after that, actually, I think.
But just the way he went about it, he's like, everyone's expecting me to just kick off and make all these excuses. And he goes, but fair play, I lost
for
the better man today. And I remember, like, I watched it back. Because he's probably one of my favourite fighters.
Yeah. Exciting.
Oh, Jesus. Just amazing. His style too.
He's a good
player. Just the way he went about it. And I think AJ was the same. He's like, no excuses. Lost to the better man. I'll get it back. Got it back. And then Ruiz is, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And no one has a perfect prep, but...
But you know what, mate? When you're defending your heavyweight championship of the world, you know it's coming. Train. That's what shits me about everyone saying, he deserves a rematch. Now, in my mind, I thought he might have done one all. I get it.
Yeah.
But now, after you saying you didn't train properly to defend your world title, you don't put it... Let me throw this out there. Was he only surviving so it was one each so he could get a third fight for the big money? Because he didn't. It was terrible.
No, I think...
AJ was very good.
I think it was more AJ was good than Ruiz was terrible. Because I think even if he is unfit or had all these excuses, I think he's still like a fundamentally really good boxer and has things that can trouble AJ. And we saw that in the first fight. But I just think AJ fought a different fight and it was all on Joshua.
You know what AJ said? I saw it on an IFL TV video last night that he watches... Been around Team GB and the amateurs there, he watches them and he was studying Pat McCormick and what those boys do, how they use their jab, they step in and away with their jab. He said he was watching the young amateurs thinking, that's what I have to go back to this fight. I have to use my jab and my straight right.
But they're all things he would have done for years and years at the Institute there. But just, I think he got too caught up in, I'm a big puncher, I'll knock people out all the time, so I'm going to do it again. But it just didn't happen. And I think he was better for that loss. And it's easy to fight.
His body, wishes body he looked different too, didn't it?
Lean, didn't he?
Yeah. Like, that's probably more his natural weight without the built up. I still don't know what he weighed though, do you?
No, I can't remember now. He just gave the weight to Ruiz. Ruiz put it on for
him. Mate, all the photos about Ruiz, were they photoshopped going around saying, look how lean he's looking?
Oh, yeah.
He was looking small.
I saw some videos of him doing pads and he was in a sweatsuit. I'm like, mate, you're a heavyweight. Why are you in a sweatsuit? Like, enjoy yourself. Enjoy your training. Right, let us do that.
You're all out. You're all out to eat.
And a lot.
Yeah, that's right. Mate, so you saw the fight. Who won? Like, do you believe Joshua won every round, 10 rounds, 8 rounds? What did you have?
I had a stream.
Oh, yeah, kept clicking. Yeah.
Not paid for stream, you know.
Paid for stream, yeah. I know.
Then one. So the first 6 rounds, it was real dodgy, and then I think everyone hopped off it, and then the last 6 were real good. So from what I saw, he was boxing and moving, I thought he won most of those rounds.
Yeah.
I think you could give a couple of rounds to Ruiz.
I think I had 10 rounds to 2.
Yeah, but like you said, it's like when you're talking about Brad Hall, you can afford to lose those couple of rounds.
It's a 12-round fight. Yeah, it's a 12-round fight, yeah, that's right.
You got to win most of them, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he just stuck to a good game plan, was disciplined. He didn't even look like he was puffed at the end because he would have been mentally fatigued, I think, because sometimes that's harder up here than it is on your body, and it's just making sure your feet are out of range all the time. So you're always thinking, oh, I can't get clipped with this, I can't get clipped with that. And he would have been thinking from the first fight.
And a negative thinking person will be thinking, well, shit, I hope this is not the moment where he catches me, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they begin... Further on,
you know what? That can work for some people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've seen amateurs that are jumping their shit scared.
Mm.
Oh, I don't want to get hit. And they don't because they're so
in and
driven
out.
By their fear that they get out of the way. But
whatever. I think we call it nerves, but generally, it covers fear, doesn't it? It's fear. It's if you're honest, it is the fear. Whether it's the fear of losing, fear and getting knocked out, fear of whatever it is. It's
especially on that big stage.
The unknown.
I remember we spoke about it after Joshua got stopped, and it's almost embarrassing. Well, it is really. It's just the whole spotlight's on you in that ring, and everyone's got an opinion about it. And AJ would have gone through it,
For sure.
And I'm happy he did it. If they do a third one, I'd like to see it in England. Though I think he deserves that.
I think the British fans deserve it now.
Yeah.
Because those two fights were America and then Saudi. So, if they do a third one, mate, it just came out the other day though that he's got to face his mandatory
Alexander Usyk. He's got 30 days.
Usyk or whatever, however you pronounce
his name.
He's got
30 days to, I don't know, just discuss the purse.
Whatever they've got to do,
So, look, that's a good fight. I think, who wins that?
I don't know.
I don't think
Usyk's one that could upset him, whether he's big enough.
I just haven't watched enough of him.
Mate, but did you watch him against Bellew?
Yes.
Well, you went good for a few rounds, but he was just closing the gate and was going to catch him.
He can get out boxed up.
What about these for big fights, for non-world title fights? What's it, Dillian White? And then you put Dillian White and Ruiz in.
Now, I'd like to see White Ortiz first.
I think White would knock him out. I think he's been beaten twice, been stopped twice.
Yeah.
I think he's been stopped twice. Dillian White's let's go. He thinks he's the biggest animal in the world, which,
And speaking of Dillian White, got cleared of all those drug charges, which...
Mate, there's something that I don't know about there. I reckon somebody's tried to stitch him up, but it sounds like it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know the full story. All I know is he passed a barter.
Yeah.
Drug test the day before, and then the next day they alleged he didn't pass the...
Is that what happened?
Something along those lines. I don't know the ins and outs, but... Mate, like...
You've seen those videos? He's depressed
he's
and
dirty
down in the dumps.
Well, it looks like Eddie Hearn's backing him, and and like a lot of other people are as well. Like I saw Tony Bellew was having to go up to people that
his name.
Hopefully he can take them to court and
take
them for a fair bit, because that impacts his career. That has impacted his career so much. He's been out of the ring for about 8 months to a year. So,
yeah.
And that's like...
Look, he came in a bit overweight. WBC
took him, took his silver belt. Oh, yeah. His
I think he's been reinstated. He got reinstated.
But like, still, the man's trying to like, fight, and it's a dangerous sport. Like,
right, and then and you
get your name shit on like that. So, like a casual fan might look at that and go, oh, drug cheat.
Again. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm not buying his fight.
Yeah, that's true.
If you don't do your research into it, I guess people, which they're not going to.
So what's?
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
Let's stick with the heavyweights. What's the biggest heavyweight fight out there? The biggest fight.
It's got to be with them top three. I still think.
I think Fury Joshua to me is the biggest fight because I think it buys more in Britain.
Yeah, but I think we're more up to date with the English culture too.
Yeah.
So we love seeing those domestic matchups. Like.
Yeah,
I'd love to see White fight AJ again, just because.
Yeah.
Or even huge. I'd love to see Chisora in the mix somewhere.
Yeah, I love Chisora. Yeah.
I just like him as a person, and I think he's entertaining.
People think, right? Isn't it funny how styles make fights? You've got AJ. People think AJ beats Dillian White. AJ beats Chisora. But does Wilder beat Dillian White?
I don't know. I think that's why they've never taken the fight, because it's such a big risk.
Does Wilder beat Chisora?
How's he not had a WBC title shot?
There you go. Some
and Brazil did, and Ortiz had two shots at it, and Fury had a crack at it, but White's been with that governing body for so long.
Yeah, there's something not right.
Yeah.
And then when he gets into that mandatory position, he's called a drug cheat.
Yeah. Look, I wish him all the best, because I like him as a... I think he's a really good... character.
Yeah. No, he's good.
Yeah. Biggest fight, you'd probably have to say Fury Joshua, but I think
I would say for the bums on seats and that sort of stuff.
Oh, they'd sell out.
So they're all massive, aren't they?
Oh well, yeah, I think AJ Ruiz trilogy would sell out. Usyk and AJ would sell out.
Because
they've got such a big fan base for it.
Thing is though, I don't think AJ Ruiz sells as much as
not a Fury or a Wilder. No.
Because of how easy he did it the second time. When I say easy, obviously you have to be mentally right. But he won 10 rounds to 2.
Yeah. But like if he does
you think he's going to do it again?
If he does that in the third fight, our boxers in the stuff, I think a lot of fans that don't watch all the time won't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I thought it was a good display of boxing.
I loved it.
Yeah, but...
I love it because any second he could still get knocked out.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, jeez, get out of there, you know?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
And I noticed he said in one of the videos that I've been watching, just, I'm a boxer. I boxed more this time.
Yeah.
Instead of lifting and
doing all that. Yeah, I saw him like they had an exchange, like a hug and whatnot with the trainer and Ruiz after the fight. And AJ said something like, we went to war the first time, I'm outboxed you this time, we'll go to war again in the third one. Because I think he wants to prove, all right, well, I can knock you out and make it more fan-friendly, fan-friendly. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I'm glad for Dillian White. I hope he gets a shot with Wilder. But, like, I think the heavyweight division...
But Fury Wilder's already done, isn't it, for February?
Yeah, the second one. Yeah, I think so. Oh, they've been proactive. Good on them.
And look, they've got it. If there's three in the mix, somebody's going to miss out all the time anyway.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think there's more than three now. Like, I think obviously those three are the standouts, but then the tier below,
we haven't even talked about Parker. There's Parker in there too.
Yeah, well, maybe Parker Ruiz is a fair chance as well, because Ruiz, that's his only loss. Who wins that? I thought Ruiz beat him the first one.
Me, I think Ruiz wins.
Yeah. Good on that.
Just warm my pen up, mate. That's all. I thought Ruiz beat Joe the first time, so I think, I think honestly, my thoughts that he'll do it this time. Yeah,
yeah. But a bit more confidence this time too.
Well, after knocking out AJ and being on top of the world, you know what it's all about.
We might eat too much Taco Bell again.
mate, what did you think about Timmy Zhu?
Well, I was in Melbourne, right?
Yeah.
And I went to about 5 sports bars, and no one had it on. So I missed out. I only saw the highlights.
Mate.
They said, oh, we're not putting any of the fights on. The only fights would have been at the Crown Casino.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was about 10-minute drive. And by that stage,
I've gone
about
5
pubs. I was like, oh, I'm done with it, mate.
Yeah.
I've had enough. I'll watch it in the morning. So I only saw little bits. I saw about, what was it, the 4th round?
I think it was the fourth. That was the best I've seen Tim. He just totally controlled the pace. Rebecca was jumpy, was trying to put pressure on him, but Zhu just kept control the whole time with his feet, his lead hand touching, just holding the pace. He was excellent. I thought he was real good.
Who was on that undercard as well?
Trent Broadhurst David Light.
Yeah, well, how'd that go?
Trent got stopped in, I don't even know what, the 3rd or 4th round or something like that. Trent had burst eardrum problems. I'm not really sure. I've never seen Light before. I've heard about him. Geez, he looks like a big cruiser.
Yeah, okay.
Looked like a real big, strong boy, but does what?
Does Opetai beat him?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Opetai beats him. He's too good. Opetai. I believe Jai Opetai is one of our few that are really world class in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. After watching him against Flanagan, I was impressed, and I thought, like, he showed his amateur pedigree in there as well. Just
very good
moves. Look out.
And he's always one thing about Jai. He's always had time. He's always had time. Like, they talk about the great footballers always have time with the ball. Jai, to me, he's always had that little bit of time, and that's what I saw in Zhu the other night too. Had that time, totally in control of the pace.
He wanted to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who else is on that undercard?
Nathaniel May.
Oh yeah.
Nathaniel May had a tough one. It was close. It was close. But the guy just relentless pressure, and Nathaniel just couldn't get his swing of holding his distance. He had
usually
glimpses.
He's someone who has a lot of pace and pressure as well.
He is. But this guy didn't look overly skilled or anything, just hands high, just pushed forward and just kept in his face, bullied. I suppose in a way you could say it was like how Jeff took Manny on. You know what I mean?
Okay,
just put that constant pressure, let in close. Nathaniel had some great moments and it was a close fight. That's the way it goes.
He's only a year old than me. I think he's like 24.
Yeah, yeah. He's exactly the same age because he came to Kazakhstan with us in 2011. That was Junior World, so it's the same age as Clay and Jai. So.
No, that would be the year older. Jai's 24 as well.
Well, they box at the same championships unless he's at the younger year.
Younger,
that's right. But, you mentioned Clay. Like, the guys just had their Olympic trials. So Australia have now named their team. Any upsets, you think? Austin beaten by Brandon
Rees. Yeah, that's an upset.
I suppose it was very close.
I think
by
those
though,
91
wasn't.
Boys have always had their battles. Good on Brandon. He's a hard worker and lost at the last ones to Austin. And
your mate Jason Marley made the side.
Austin will get his. Austin is last boxer as well. So hopefully they all have a good crack. As we said the other week, so they're just happy for all of them to go through and box their best. And Jason Marley won the 69s, which I'm happy about.
As you stepped aside this year, Paulo's taken over, he's in the next stage.
In the 81 division, which was good of him. So it's been a long time coming. He's lost to me a few times, and he lost to Clay a couple of times, and now he's starting to get that back, which is good. And we'll probably look to work with him in this prep as well, because class bombs
are good
over.
Good
quality. Yeah, but to be honest, I didn't, as I said last week or the week before, I said didn't really care, and that was my attitude on last week and the weekend before, whenever it was, is I didn't watch one of the fights, I didn't pay for lodging. I just kind of just left it. I've closed that chapter. I'm happy for everyone in their pursuit of their dreams.
Yeah.
But I got my own shit I need to worry about. Yeah. I need to be dwelling on the past.
Isn't it funny how much your mindset swings when you're totally not involved? When you're involved in
that national selection
process, it's the only thing in the world you care about. Mm. But then you step outside and you change the direction of where you're going, you realize that, the only people that actually really care are the people that are doing it.
Like, it doesn't mean I have to go around and be negative about it, because that just brings up negative shit on me as well. So I'm just happy to go, all the best to everyone in it. I just won't be watching it.
I don't really care about it.
I'll watch AJ on the weekend because I want to be on those.
That's where you want to be,
That gets me up.
Did you watch the videos I sent you? Roy Jones' first fight? Floyd Mayweather's first fight. Sorry, Floyd. And it's interesting just looking at the guys turn pro, like as we know Mayweather now. That's what I've said to you earlier. Watch them when they... and Ricky Hatton. And watch them when they first turn pro. And if you look at them, geez, I do have a chance. But I've just got to do the work like they did. I've just got to keep going one step at a time.
Yeah, and feed everyone that's put in front of you as well. And
there you go.
Just do the right things.
And keep moving forward. Mate, so we've got the big one, Jeff Horn, Michael Zarafa.
Is that this weekend?
The 18th. Next
Wednesday.
Yeah, so it's about a week. I don't know, it's 5 days away or something like that. Mate.
It's creeped up, mate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mate, it's blowing up. I've been watching some videos lately. Michael Zarafa is absolutely fucking giving it to Jeff in these things. I'm enjoying it.
His name is Sam
Labruna.
Yes.
Oh yeah, he did a video too.
Yeah, I saw. Just talking about Glenn. So look, it looks like there's a bit of animosity between the two because he missed out on a title shot or whatever the case was, and money and that's what we're all in it for.
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame him, but then again, it's like.
There's two sides.
Yeah, and I get it.
I can understand.
And I think Zarafa would as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But now Zarafa, the one I was watching this morning, Zarafa was just going, you know what? I don't even care now. My mind is fully focused on Jeff and I just want to knock him out again.
Yeah, well that was, I saw the LeBron.
Labruna.
Yeah. Sorry, mate, I get it. His interview with him, and he's like, at the start, I didn't want to take it. I didn't want to do anything to do with it, but now it's here. I want it more than ever. Right. And that must have been the same attitude Zarafa's got. So, who wins? Go, White Axe, tell us.
Oh, mate. I just still don't think Jeff's a middleweight.
Yeah, okay.
I just think the size plays into it. If they were both welterweights, I'd say Jeff wins. Hands down, actually.
Yeah, but Zarafa's
not. But he's not. He's never had. That's what I'm saying. But I just think... I just don't think Jeff's a middleweight.
Yeah. No, I think only going off the last one, and look, going into that, I'm going to back Jeff. He's a risen boy. He's done everything I want to do in the sport. So I was obviously backing Jeff. And any time I haven't backed Jeff, he's won as well.
In the
past, Jeff's been like, even if you look at the early days, Ben Rabah,
Sam Columban.
Columban, who is that? Oh, there's another fella. The beat Paddy.
Ravan Cesaire.
Cesaire. Class boxer.
Boxed those guys early on.
Yeah. And I was even the Cesaire one, I was like, oh, I don't know, Jeff's got it.
Yeah.
And every time he's proven me wrong. Pacquiao.
That's right. Yeah.
Even Randall Bailey was a tough test.
Thing about Randall, he could punch too.
And he nearly did it. I think it was about around that ninth as well. But then. So, I obviously went to Crawford, but since then I thought, well, he can beat Zarafa because he's just done it time and time again.
Zarafa was good.
So maybe that's the curse. Maybe I'm the curse. Maybe every time I think he's not going to win it.
Because he's a Brisbane boy and a friend of ours, I will still be cheering for Jeff. I'm excited by the fight because I think Zarafa's built it up really well.
And he seems like a really good character. And just another one who's worked really hard and done everything right and won every fight put in front of him.
Good on him.
And taken big fights. Like he fought
Kell Brook.
Kid Chocolate. Finland and Kell Brook. Like, this, decent boys. Kell Brook, I didn't think there was many welterweights. Like, I thought he'd beat Spence. That's how highly I rated him.
Has he fought since Michael Zarafa?
No, he hasn't, has he?
I think he
went
nothing.
Back to the Ingle Gym, too.
Did he? I've heard nothing
of him. For that fight.
Yeah, right.
But I thought Zarafa held his own in that fight and really put up a good performance.
Went the distance?
Yeah, and I really rate Brook highly. So, look, I hope both boys have a good crack, and whoever wins, good on.
I don't know who's on the undercard, do you?
I only know Andrew Hunt.
Oh, Andrew, mate, that is a mad fight.
Yeah?
Andrew Hunt, Cesaro Monzo.
I saw his record. He's like 43-3 or something.
I honestly think that's madness.
You're right. Shit.
Well, Andrew Hunt, you know, we all love Andrew. We think he's got some good skills and everything.
Oh, he's super talented.
I think it's an 8-rounder.
I saw it was 8.
Hasn't fought an 8 before, I don't think.
Fours.
And not fought anybody in the same quality. Amongso is an absolute beast. Look,
he's past YouTube him after this.
He's honestly a beast. Him and McCatsidis.
Oh, really?
Mate.
Okay. Yeah.
These fights were amazing. Like,
is he past it, though? Do you think maybe that's why that fight's been taken, or...?
He's probably a few years past his best.
Okay.
But in 2016 and 15, he was still very strong, tapping on the door.
I'll go YouTube and after this. Might have to get
the I think it's mad.
Do you think it's...
I think it's madness.
Do you think it's a winnable fight?
I won't say it's impossible, because Jeff's proved to us that anything's possible. I just find it a very tough fight. In your, what, 5 fights has he had? Something like that. I think it's a very tough one to take, when you could take easier ones. Well, you could take a building fight that is a gradual step up. But losing it this early on is probably...
And he's my age.
Yeah. It's I don't know. Look, it's probably really not a fight. I hope he does.
Yeah. I
think it's a massive risk.
Yeah.
Massive risk.
I'll be definitely tuning into that card, though. I'm not too sure who else is on there. I'd have to look, but
I'm not sure. But that's a good fight, though, isn't it? Like, it doesn't really matter about the undercard, because we're all tuned in to watch Jeff and Zarafa.
The main, and
the main event is selling.
I think Zarafa's done a really good job, but like, he hasn't been talking trash. I don't think. I think he's just been.
He's been saying how it is.
Yeah, just how
what
he feels, and I really appreciate that.
Mm.
Because if our fans can get behind someone like that, then it gives us like more of a platform to speak 100%. How we feel, instead of going, oh, just answering the same generic shit that everyone answers. Oh, I trained really hard for this fight. Oh,
this personalities, mate. He's been good.
He's made it like interesting for people. Like, even my mates are like, oh, you're watching this Horn Zarafa fight?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Horn's built the platform for everyone else, but Zarafa's like, he's taken it more and more.
He's done excellent.
Personal, and I really think that's a good move on my
actually
my
speaking about what happened. Speaking about Zarafa's stablemate, I suppose. What happened to Caparello Boazzi? Is that still on, or
no? Because that was supposed to be in November.
Yeah. I don't know. Something must have happened, obviously.
Shit.
Didn't hear about that.
He was at the Dubai fight sale.
Oh, was he?
On the weekend too. So I wonder if he's maybe injured or
What did you watch? Dennis Hogan and Charlo.
Saw the highlights. Yeah, Charlo's about my height. And
it was always a tough ask.
He makes middle. Yeah, so mate, they're big boys, big strong.
And they look like a massive size difference. They look like a big size difference.
Yeah, they are big boys, big punches, really good, really good bases and fundamentals. Nothing like flashy, I don't feel.
No.
Actually, Charlo, his other brother, Jamel, the one who lost his WBC title to Tony Harrison, they're fighting on December 21st. That'll be a
cracker. Yeah, nice.
Because they really don't like each other. Like, they actually hate each other.
It sounds like Dennis is going to go back to junior middleweight now.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. I think.
Yeah, the size was just too much.
Take a shot, I feel. Like,
yeah. Oh, look, if you're getting offered good money and you get opportunity there, you've got to.
Yeah.
I just wonder what the next step is, because after been on that big platform his last two fights, he's probably not going to want to come back to Australian sort of money. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, you wouldn't want it. You've got to the top. You need to earn as much as you can. So, good luck to Dennis.
Imagine getting the big paycheck and then going, "No, mate, you're going to have to sell some tickets down the local tavern
to make sure you get paid $3,000."
And we're giving you $3,000. Be grateful.
No, but that's it. Anything else about the world of boxing at the moment, Jacko?
No, not too much. We've boxing shops hosting our Christmas party tomorrow. Should be
good.
Got my Secret Santa locked in.
Yeah, me too. Hope I get a good present, actually.
I don't know who got you, but I know a few of the boys have been telling each other who they got. Not mentioning any names. Floyd.
Cheats.
Floyd. I called him out the other day. Yeah, I got a mirror.
She's watching us, she's our producer.
Our little elf for Christmas. We got one in,
but so the world of boxing, that's pretty much wrap up, I suppose, for the year. Is Liam Wilson on the show?
December
18th.
He's got a IBF youth
IBF fight. Or IBF
IBF no
However
youth
you want to say
youth and IBF twisted up. Was that funny, is it? like a youth IBF
IBF youth title.
I'm not sure where the guy's from, but Liam always looks impressive, and we've had Liam on. If you want to go check Liam out as well,
celebrities everywhere.
Reagan Desai fought last weekend too. I didn't get to see it. I heard he held a good account of himself, and
apparently there's the odd elbow getting slipped in. I'd heard.
But
I heard there was more elbows and headbutts than a Muay Thai fight.
Yeah, another one you can go listen to Reagan's podcast.
Mate,
just one of the really genuine nice guys in boxing, and taking big fights early on. Good on him, someone who's tough and will keep pushing forward. I'm sure he's still got a big future.
Right, he'll get there. Is he same age as you?
He's my age. 23, and he's. Like, he's had fought the likes of Caparello this last fight. Good on him. Who was the guy who fought when he lost? You talked about it when he was on. Was another big name who's doing well now.
I can't remember the name of the guy, but it was early on, wasn't it?
A Kiwi fellow.
Yeah. It was early on.
Moses.
I honestly can't remember.
He's another one. I really hope Reagan pushes on and does big
things. He'll do good. He'll come back and he works really hard. He's a good man.
Yeah, I think that's the wrap up for the year. I think we might do one more
before we break out for the new year.
All right,
stay tuned.
We might get Mira on next week.
She's run away again.
A good job, we might get her on.
We'll see. All right, guys, thanks for listening. We will see you all next week with some very big news. We'll release some big news next week. Until then, keep listening. Go back and listen to the other podcasts, and we'll see you soon.
Cheers.